This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Let me tell you something. We have a great show today. Not only is it Woke Wednesdays here in the Morning Beat, we're tackling some pretty heavy issues. What's it like to be openly HIV positive and date online? We'll discuss that in a bit. Plus, gay Twitter is having a meltdown right now. That is because two porn stars, female porn stars, who probably didn't anticipate it, got a massive gay following now, and they have news that is now linked to the queer community, finally. This is an interesting story. And megastar Miley Cyrus has been hospitalized. We have the details on why and what happened there. Of course, it is Woke Wednesdays. Brian Normoyle will come in. He's a political expert and commentator. He'll come in and chat with us about everything that's going on from the Supreme Court situation that's happening with the queer community, as well as the impeachment letter, stonewalling Congress, that whole business. All of that will be discussed. Not to mention that we also... We're going to tackle the Ellen and George W. Bush thing. We have our pretty strong opinions on that one that may upset some of our friends, our listeners. And then, of course, we're going to be joined by Lucas Acosta, who's the National Press Secretary for HRC, because this week... There's going to be, we should figure out some way to watch that.
Yeah.
There's going to be the LGBTQ presidential town hall. How are we not there?
I don't know, but I'm excited to cover it. I'm excited for him to come in because I really feel like it's such an important time.
Do you feel next year if they have one of these things, like a style of political event where, I mean, next year we'll have a candidate at this point. Oh, no, we won't, I guess.
Well,
yeah, we will.
Almost.
We'll have a couple.
We'll have the
two.
Justin, our producer, saying two.
Yeah. So maybe there will be another opportunity for us to attend an LGBTQ town hall with elected officials.
Well, what I do know is tonight I'm very, very busy because I'm attending a political event called Kamala Harris.
You've
thankfully invited me so I can go meet my queen.
There's a private event that we'll be attending with Miss Kamala.
Yeah, I literally blow dried, washed, and flat ironed my hair for 3 hours yesterday to prepare for this moment. So I'm ready. Very
you
excited
look very
to
ready.
Meet her. Thank you.
Yeah, what a difference from yesterday. I mean, still passable as Fran Fine.
Thank you.
Young Fran Fine. But,
thank you.
But yeah, you're very on brand today. The leopard continues. And I like this. It's a faux leopard. Almost a pea coat, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, collar, cinched at the waist.
I think I've had one of these in my closet for the past 30 years.
Like it's a staple.
Yeah, like I just keep getting a new one every time the old one gets weathered or
that's
I outgrow it.
That's me with leather, fitted leather motorcycle jackets.
Yeah,
I have. Yeah, and I have one that honestly needs to be thrown away. It's just really done.
Yeah.
And I refuse just out of pure principle.
Well, it's hard to find one, though.
Yes.
I'm doing it with Deadly's right now. It's hard to find a good motorcycle jacket. You know who has good ones, though?
All Saints.
Zara.
Oh.
All Saints is good.
Zara's not real. It's vegan leather, so.
Yeah.
Or it's like a weird leather where it, you know, no.
Well,
I do like it. It doesn't breathe as well, though, sometimes.
Oh, got it.
I sweat in them.
Oh.
But they look gorgeous.
Yeah, they do. And if you're balling on a little budget, you can
That's
get one
insane.
For like $50, $100.
Oh, love. All right, well, it's time. That's the show we have for you for the next 4 hours. But before we get there, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, STDs are on the rise in the U.S. Cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis. They've all risen for the fifth consecutive year. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says, now, possible factors driving this rise include a surge in people getting tested and cases being diagnosed and reported. Good on you. There's also a decline in people using condoms. Now, the number of antibiotic resistant gonorrhea cases is also growing. Alaska has the highest number of chlamydia cases, while Mississippi has the highest rates of gonorrhea. Nevada has the highest rates of primary and secondary syphilis. I'm from Nevada, so you are not pleasing me right now.
Well, you know what's true? With people being on PrEP, people now have to get, while they're at the doctor's office every 3 months, getting your labs worked to make sure that, you know, the PrEP is not affecting your kidneys, your liver. They also check you for STDs. Guess what? A lot of people are not used to getting tested that frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're now, that's why part of the numbers are coming up. And with the no condoms things, people, I think, are getting too liberal with the idea of, well, I can't get HIV anymore. I'm not going to use a condom, forgetting that there's still the other STDs out there. Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're moving on to our family in California. Utility giant Pacific Gas and Electric started shutting off the power early this morning in parts of Northern California in an effort to prevent starting a wildfire. Now, almost 500,000 customers are in the dark right now. Another 300,000 will lose power later in the day. The electricity could be off for days. Forecasters warn that many parts of Northern California are under extreme fire weather danger, with windy and dry conditions forecast for the region. PG&E equipment started the deadly 2018 campfire, a state investigation found, after a power line touched nearby trees. So the extreme measure of shutting off the power is being used to try to prevent future blazes. All right, guys. Well, if the House of Representatives wants to impeach President Trump, it won't get the White House's help. The White House sent a blistering letter to House leaders saying the Trump administration will not cooperate in the impeachment inquiry, calling the whole thing an illegitimate and unconstitutional effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election. Earlier in the day, the State Department had blocked Gordon Sondland, U.S. ambassador to the European Union, from testifying before Congress about the Ukraine controversy. Sondland is now being subpoenaed. The Trump administration's stance leaves House Speaker Nancy Pelosi with a big decision, says CNN political analyst Stephen Collinson. Take the fight to the courts, where the impeachment drive could get bogged down in months of legal challenges, or move quickly in drafting articles of impeachment and play into Trump's claim that she's running a kangaroo court. All right, guys, well, it's October 9th, and if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You share it with some really great celebrities like Sharon Osbourne. She will be 67 today. Bella Hadid, she's so beautiful. You know her, the chicest runway model, 23 years old. And it would have been John Lennon's birthday today. So happy, happy birthday to you. We have a lot of stories coming up. But first, Twitter is rallying around a positive man who's receiving hate on a social media app, and we are talking about it coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
So you've been partnered for years and you've never been a part of online dating.
No, and I'm going to say this, honey, I do not envy anybody that is.
Do you know, what is online dating like for women? Any of your single girlfriends, is it trickier when you're a lesbian to date online, or just a hiccup?
I don't know if it's, you know, here's the thing, like, lesbians are like lobsters. They like find their one person and they're like, and it's just over.
Until like someone gets poached from the tank and makes a beautiful dinner.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And then it's time to,
and then they go to a very expensive restaurant where they're eaten.
Right.
And it's nice.
What a nice ending for them.
Thank you.
No, but I've had a bunch of lesbian friends say that it's really tricky in the space of where nightlife has really reduced the number of bars where girls have, because nightlife has kind of struggled to keep up with online dating. It used to be you had to go to a bar to meet someone. Now that there are apps, a lot of the gay boys, they won't go out as frequently because they used to have to go. And bars have long complained about that. But when you are dating online, which app depends on, you know, how much of yourself you want to show. I personally am a full face, linked, verified Instagram on all my social media and online dating accounts.
Yeah, I feel like if I was single and I was doing social media dating, I would put it all out there, only because I don't want my time wasted. Just here it is.
That's the number
one. You either like it or you don't.
Yes.
Even I love filters, but I wouldn't even put a filter on because I don't want the embarrassment of meeting in person
and then
they don't like me, or we wake up the next morning after being intimate and they're like, who are you?
Yep.
I feel like putting it all out there is just the best way to go. Cut the time, cut the crap.
I really like scruff. I don't find it actually works for me. I don't find that I engage with people as much. But what I do like about that platform is there's so much, there's unlimited almost amounts of what you can contain and put about yourself there. But I think the most popular, ooh, maybe that's a message from the Grindr person now. The most effective tool for me has been Grindr. Tinder, interestingly enough, listen up to your dear Tinder straight folks that are listening right now, doesn't work so much for the gays. I got collected like a baseball card.
What's the difference between Tinder and Grindr?
Yeah. So Tinder, I swipe right if I like you. And if you if you swiped right on me also, then it says that we like each other and then we can DM each other.
And
unfortunately, sometimes because, you know, the gays are, the people will collect me and be like, ooh, Jay Rodriguez got me. And then they don't want to engage after a couple pleasantries or even get off the app and meet up for coffee, which my profile distinctly says. I try to be transparent on there. Also, on Tinder, you only get a small blurb and like six pictures.
Got it.
And you can link your social.
Okay, so they can go to your Instagram and check
so
it out.
So Grindr, I have my main picture is like my channel cue picture. It's like a leather jacket with a gold tank top and jeans, so I'm covered. If you scroll past, I think there's like another picture that's like maybe, you know, two more shirtless and one. There's like three shirtless and one with a shirt. On there, I include my height, my weight, what I'm looking for, what I'm open to, how I identify, because you can filter your searches. So let's say you wanted to date a gal who was between a certain height range. You can filter that on.
Oh, I love that.
You also with age. So I leave my age off because I'm 40, but I don't. But, you know, I don't always present as 40 around my peers. That does not mean I'm looking at a dead 22-year-old.
Right.
That being said, there's also an area that asks about your HIV status.
Okay.
Right. So a lot of people will either leave that off or they will. There's things like Scruff, which have answers like this. HIV status, and they do treatment as prevention.
Okay.
Which means I'm HIV positive and this is an appropriate method of preventing HIV. I'm undetectable and so you can't get it from me. Or they'll say PrEP, you know, that they are not, that they're also, you know, they'll put all basically all the other things that they are open to dating themselves, meaning they're open to dating someone, whatever. However, if you're HIV positive, you get a lot of hate online. This guy named Tim G, he's 29 years old. He said he was HIV positive. He's a marathon runner, and he has very openly disclosed that on his profile. But listen to this. Like, people really start going in on him, and they're like, how did you get HIV? And he goes, well, most people who are diagnosed with HIV acquire the virus through unprotected vaginal or anal sex. And then he goes, well, how did you get it? I mean, just from, like, actually having, you know, intercourse? Or did your boyfriend give it to you? Like, this is where the conversation's going. He goes, well, what does it matter to you? Why would you ask those personal questions? Like, most people acquired it via sex. So, to that, how it happened has nothing to do with you, especially in a blank profile. That's another thing. Blank profiles ask the most questions.
Wow.
And you're like, I don't
even
know.
That's always how it goes.
And then he goes, anyway, then basically he tries to educate him, and the guy calls him every name in the book and says, funny how the shallow, ignorant bleeps end up catching HIV. Serves you right.
You know what's difficult about this conversation is you're trying to be open. You're trying to be honest. So there's no surprises if you guys meet up and have coffee. And then there's people that really troll you. And I think it's just says a lot about,
you know, it's also
people on the internet. Yeah. But I think it cannot discourage people from wanting to be honest so that they can have an honest, open relationship.
Yes. And here's the other piece, too. It's always tends to be in the circles that I've been in. The people who are HIV negative on PrEP tend to be the most judgmental about dating someone who's HIV positive and undetectable.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the whole point? We've been fundraising. We've been doing all these, going for this, and money benefits HIV AIDS for research and advancements. We have them now. We have them in place. We have the education, and people are still being dragged for their status.
Well, Tim G posted it on Twitter, the whole conversation, and a lot of people had his back. It was very nice to see. People said, this just makes my blood boil. Sorry you had to deal with this. Ali said, that's awful. Sorry to see someone did this to you. Completely cowardly to hide behind a blank profile, too. So he had a lot of support, but the haters will come, especially when it goes around being HIV positive, which is why we're excited to have Carl Schmidt at some point on the show. I believe this month, is it, that he will be coming on the 15th?
Yeah, he's an out reporter who came out with his status. He used to actually work for Dame Edna. That's how we met. He's a funny, funny guy. He's a man living with HIV, open about his status. So we're going to have him on to chat about that and a whole lot more, specifically the spikes in the community. But there's two things I want you to remember. One, if someone is on their medication and they are undetectable, they can't give you the virus even if they wanted to. Number two, there's a pill called PrEP. If you are having sex and you are in, you know, perhaps in a not a monogamous situation in your life, you might want to just get on the pill. It prevents you from catching HIV, 99% success rate. And that's the era that we are living in. So let's all get educated together.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, what can make gay Twitter have a meltdown? It has to do with two cisgender porn stars that have made they have big mouths on the internet.
These
and they're
ladies,
using them to make some money now.
I cannot believe the gays have now brought them into our adult work.
Find out coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Do you remember a woman? I don't know if you ever would have had reason to know who this woman is. She was an educator on STI. She had a cable access show. She was in some ways kind of a topless kind of late night host. Her name was Robin Bird.
No.
So she's a massive deal in the queer community because she was a cisgender female who had this late night cable access show in New York. And pre-internet, or right, the beginning stages of internet, that's really kind of what was blooming. Late at night, if you stumbled across, you could find her, and she would interview porn stars. She would have the song Baby Let Me Bang in Your Box. And it was literally like she'd lip sync it to open her show. And she'd have all these she had like all these iconic male porn stars from back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, you name it, on with her. And they would talk about social issues. And it was really funny and campy. And I don't think since then we've had someone sort of fill that space of like advocacy while also being completely campy and accepted in sort of the adult gay space. That being said, how would you describe these two ladies, best known as the Destroyers?
Oh, I'm sorry. One more time.
They are known as Destroyers.
One more time. I'm sorry.
Put that together. Destroyers.
Excellent.
And the word that we're looking for is not rooster. It's just something we can't say. It's a male chicken. Put it together yourself.
So here's the thing. These two beautiful, fantastic women I was introduced to earlier this year as they went Just earlier this year.
Oh, girl.
And they became a viral sensation with most people. They are these sex positive porn stars that were on a total rampage in this video talking about some money.
The video that I think they came to become famous was a sex video with many people.
The video that I saw that I was familiar with was they were talking into the camera, talking about the sexcapades that they go on.
And at that point, they're
making
already famous,
they've normalized the whole thing to the point where you're like, I think I want to be a porn star.
But you also think at first, it's like an SNL sketch.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Like an adult.
These women
SNL
are from
sketch.
The UK, so the accents make it so much more
brilliant.
I
thought they were from Australia for a while. I don't know where they're from because they are so. Think about the most SNL style accent and the most SNL style impersonation of a porn star you can do.
Right.
That's what these two girls are.
They've got huge, huge Juvederm lips.
Yes.
These big, ginormous breasts.
80s style implants. Rebecca Moore and Sophie Anderson. And they rose to fame and then became suddenly like the Jennifer Coolidge of the adult world.
Which, first of all, say that in a sentence.
Yeah.
The Jennifer Coolidge of the porn world. Like,
yes.
That's who you want to be.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the gay community latched on like a bad habit, honey.
They started by, they took over this really popular brand called Daddy Couture. And that has like Matthew Camp, who's another famous adult actor. And all of a sudden I started seeing a lot of gay people in the gay space, whether it was influencers or, like you said, gay porn stars, do partnerships with them, shout outs, even for makeup palettes.
Yeah.
Makeup palettes,
yeah,
girl.
Well, now they're moving on to something more exciting.
What are they doing?
The... Destroyers are cementing their position as gay icons because they are starring in Men.com's latest high production, high drama gay porn.
Who are these ladies again?
A Tale of Two Destroyers. And they are taking over your television.
Men.com.
You will be able to see this on October 18th.
Okay.
It'll be available to stream on Men.com and TLA Gay. It is a tale of two destroyers, and we will do a premiere on our own.
The best in pop culture news brought to you right now. And what's popping? So, Michaela Gordon, what is popping?
All right, guys. Well, the story started yesterday, and we will continue this week because we will have special guest Trisha Paytas joining us on Friday for National Coming Out Day, considering she has now come out as transgender an Instagram video.
In case you don't know, she is.
She's an Instagram influencer. She's now been going on tour as a pop star within her own community. She's built a fan base, but she's also known to be a little controversial. She's gone back on a lot of things that she said in prior. And so when she came out as transgender, a lot of people had questions. But Gigi Gorgeous said she called her friend Trisha and she was able to confirm that she is transgender. So yesterday, after taking a lot of backlash, she got caught up with TMZ, and TMZ had a lot of questions for her. And so this was her response.
I regret the way I explained myself. I don't regret talking about it. I regret the way I explained it, of course. Yeah, I didn't. I'm not a spokesperson for the transgender community. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just know I've always been transgender, so I just talked about it.
So the problem is, Poppy, a lot of people are really upset because she's got 2.4 million followers. She does have an influence. She is already being looked at a little critically. And then she says, I'm not a transgender spokesperson.
Yeah, listen, I mean, she's a cisgender passing female who has a very wishy-washy past with how she has claimed some things and then taken them back. But like Gigi Gorgeous says, you know, if someone tells you how they identify, believe them, you know, believe them. And so we're going to have her on Friday to ask her the hard questions that I think she's ready for to tackle. And if we need to change her pronoun to him, because she says she is transgender. And so if we need to change her pronoun to him, we can explore that and a whole lot more in this very big Channel Q exclusive with Trisha Paytas.
That's right. We'll see how it goes. All right, you guys, in other news, Miley Cyrus is asking for a boost of badass after being hospitalized. Now, we've been talking about her like crazy. She has been on a dating spree. She's living her single life. However, on Tuesday afternoon, the music superstar revealed to her followers on Instagram that she was in the hospital, presumably for tonsillitis. In the post, she said, trying to heal as quick as I can to make it to Gorilla Palooza with Ellen, Portia, and Bruno Mars this weekend. Send good vibes my way. We've got gorillas to save. So we're wishing you the very best, Miley. We hope that you're feeling better, of course. And that will round out What's Poppin'. Now, coming up next, it is Woke Wednesdays, and we will be joined with Brian Normoyle to talk about SCOTUS, fully recap that, and an impeachment letter that's being served right now, and all the things that are going on with Trump and the GOP. We'll have that for you coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. You know what's interesting? I had a house guest in town, so I was like sleeping, sharing the bed for the past couple days.
Oh my gosh, how was it to have your own bed?
I realized I don't actually move. I don't go to that side of the bed.
Oh, that's so it's just always open.
Yeah, and I haven't shared my bed with someone in over about a year. To be honest. And I was so panicked that I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that? Like, do you have a side? Does Lisa have a side?
Yeah, well, I know my side now because it's my right side, because as I've been trying to do this new skin regimen, I realized my entire right side, the eye is much more wrinkly than the left eye and has more pimples on the right side than the left side.
That's the side you've been sleeping
that's
on.
That's the side you sleep on.
Because your hair, all the stuff that's getting on the pillow.
And wrinkles on my eye.
Yeah.
So,
well, they say that you are indented on one side. Usually a cosmetic dermatologist will look at you and tell which side you sleep on, because you literally will just, your face will clear the fat in that area because the pressure's on it all the
time.
Well,
I'm happy for it to clear the fat. I would just like for it to put the fat into the wrinkles.
You have a divot then. That's what
I have, a divot. We've also got a need for Botox.
Anyway, the point was, I actually have a side whether or not someone's in bed with me.
That's great. Enough for Rico.
But I mean, then what's the point of having a big, like I have a queen size bed. What's the point if I'm just going to sleep on one side of it?
You think you would just be fine in a twin bed? Like you would roll over or roll out?
No, I'm just on pure principle. But I had a full before and I don't think I miss it because I don't generally have
Do you mess up the sheets?
No.
Nothing, you're a sleeper?
I literally in the morning just put the duvet
down. And
your
bed is made?
Yes. And well, I did the pillows. I have a fancy pillow situation. Anyway, all that to say, it is Woke Wednesdays. That's when we bring in on political expert. This week, it's not Sam LeGarrette-Pate. It's our good buddy, Brian Normal. He's going to be weighing in on some of the biggest issues that the that are affecting our politics right now, specifically the LGBTQ plus community. Three court cases. We have our trans woman who is up for being fired from that funeral home. Her case will be heard this week. And we'll talk about the implications on how women are now tied into this, as well as the impeachment letter and the whole stonewalling of Congress situation that is looming. And then rounding out the hour with what's popping, we've got some Kim Kardashian news coming to you. But till we get there, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, utility giant Pacific Gas and Electric started shutting off the power early this morning in parts of Northern California in an effort to prevent starting a wildfire. And almost 500,000 customers are in the dark right now. Another 300,000 will lose power later in the day. The electricity could be off for days. Now, forecasters warn that many parts of Northern California are under extreme fire weather danger with windy and dry conditions forecast for the region. PG&E equipment started the deadly 2018 campfire. A state investigation found after a power line touched nearby trees. So the extreme measure of shutting off the power is being used to prevent future blazes. All right, guys, in other news, STDs are on the rise in the U.S. Cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis have all risen for the fifth consecutive year. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says possible factors driving this rise include a surge in people getting tested and cases being diagnosed and reported. There's also a decline in people using condoms. The number of antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea cases is also growing. Alaska has the highest number of chlamydia cases, while Mississippi has the highest rates of gonorrhea, and Nevada is coming in hot as the highest rates of primary and secondary syphilis. Now, you know we're always giving you the most fun news, or at least the most educating, so just head on over to WeAreChannelQ.com. You can listen to us wherever you are, wherever, whenever time you want to, because we are officially a podcast. Also, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday, October 9th. You're sharing your birthday with Sharon Osbourne. She's 67. Bella Hadid, she's 23, and John Lennon would have been celebrating his birthday today as well. Now, coming up, we're joined by Brian Normoyle to recap SCOTUS. The Supreme Court hears cases this week, which may impact laws affecting LGBTQ community. And we're tackling it head on coming up.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Today's Wednesday. That means it's Woke Wednesdays. We try to talk about the politics, the political issues that are impacting not just our community, but all communities and how it impacts us. Sometimes, well, it leaves us scratching our heads. Michaela and I are more entertainers, so we have to bring in political experts like Brian Normoyle. Now, Brian, thank you for coming back on The Morning Beat here with us. There's a lot to chat about today. As we all know, the Supreme Court is here. Cases this week that have to do with LGBTQ plus issues. I believe two are about gay men that were wrongfully fired because they happen to be gay. One is a trans woman who was fired from a funeral home. So what do we know about these cases? And I mean, what do we know about the Title VII that they're trying to kind of move some LGBTQ plus coverage into in terms of sex discrimination?
Well, what we know about the cases is that it's very likely to be
a... First of all, this voice, I'm not going to ignore this. I always forget how great of a radio
and
voice you have.
Brian's
and soothing.
Sick, too, so it's helpful. It adds to the grit.
Right. You,
tell
too, can
more.
Have a deep voice. Just get a cold and travel across the country and be on airplanes and in airports. well, we're looking at... So they're Title VII cases.
Right.
Title VII being the part of the 1964 Civil Rights Act that makes it illegal to discriminate... For employers to discriminate on someone based off of their sex. And so the novel legal argument here is that if you fire someone for being gay, then you're violating Title VII, because I think the way it was argued in one of the cases was that the Stanford lawyer who argued the case said that if a man is fired for dating a man, you have discriminated based off of his sex, because mm-hmm. you're treating him differently than a woman who wants to do the same thing.
Right.
Oh, that's, yeah, I gotcha.
And I mean, that is a novel and pithy and concise legal argument. And there were, it was the Trump appointee, Neil Gorsuch, who, the mm-hmm. conservative, who seemed kind of receptive to that argument to a certain extent. Right.
Yeah.
So the real question I think that it's all going to hinge on, and I'm not a legal expert, but I think the question will hinge on is whether it is on intent, right? Whether or not the Congress intended in 1964 to extend these kinds of protections to LGBT people. And it seemed that everyone, and even the liberal justices, from what I read, seemed to agree that there was no intent to cover
these issues,
right? Although I think it was Ruth Gator, it was Sotomayor who said that. Well, they weren't thinking of sexual harassment back in 1964 either, and the Title VII protections have been used to create case law against sexual harassment.
I think it's interesting. I want to ask you this because we were just saying 2 years ago when the White House was lit up like a big old rainbow.
Or it was 3 or 4. I can't remember how many years ago, but the rainbow
never
White House. Yeah.
That's how exciting of time we live in. And we have got a lot of work to go.
Yeah.
A lot of inroads still to be made. But mm-hmm. gay marriage is legal in every single corner of this country, and we can't even remember what year it happened.
Right.
No, that's true. Because I feel like we're all living in this shock that happened four years ago.
The dichotomy is unreal.
And now we're here, and we're saying, I can't believe we're in this situation. I can't believe things are passing.
People can still get fired for being LGBTQ.
And people can, although this is worst case scenario, it could turn into a madman situation with even women and having to appear better or work differently in order to have a job. And we were saying yesterday, that feels like that could never happen. That's a little out of reach. However, 3 years ago, never thought this was going to happen.
It could absolutely happen. No question.
When it comes to LGBTQ plus protections, if Title VII isn't the answer, if we can't like figure out a way for that to cover us, I mean, would we then have to start over from scratch and try to just get new? I mean, because it's getting things through the Senate. I mean, it just seems like never going to happen.
Right. Well, the one thing that is one positive thing is that federal law can't prevent states from expanding their own protections. Right.
Okay.
So on a state by state level, the states can still make the decision that they're going to enact employment non-discrimination acts and things like that. And if we're talking about getting the federal government to do anything about it, absent the courts, I just don't see it happening.
Right.
I mean, legislating, particularly on contentious social issues like this, legislating on a national scale, mm-hmm. we just don't do it anymore.
Right.
Not in this hyper-polarized environment.
And, you know, we do have the LGBT, the HRC is doing the big LGBTQ town hall this week with these presidential candidates weighing in on LGBTQ plus issues. As they make promises, what is it that we should perk our ears up? If we were there in front of presidential candidates, or if any of us, and I think Michaela and I are actually going to meet with a couple presidential candidates.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is exciting.
I know, we're very
so
excited.
We just want to know.
Go ahead.
Sure. I'll figure out how you can get in there too.
No. I was going to say, I want to know who you're going to meet.
Who?
Oh. Who?
Well,
can you spill? Can you spill?
Kamala today. Yeah.
Oh,
so I guess
lady.
The question is,
same.
Yeah. So the question is, in a crowded field of Democratic presidential candidates, who are, you know, bidding for our votes, what is the question to ask them that is going to actually put them, you know, in a situation where they can actually affect some kind of change? Because it sounds just like words at the moment.
Well, you just asked the question itself, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If I were to be there, and the question I would say is, in this hyper-polarized environment in which we have a completely dysfunctional Congress, assuming that you do not win both houses of Congress mm-hmm. and the White House.
Right.
What are you going to do specifically on day one to start the ball rolling on adding more protections for LGBT
right.
plus people.
That's a great question. Michaela, write that down.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to actually text you while we're meeting with Kamala. I'm going to have you in an earpiece. I'm like, Brian, she is ready for the question.
But you effectively asked the question yourself, which is because we cannot count, especially in divided government, right? But even then, unless you get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, you've got you've got to get 60 senators to agree to whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
And then
the
House has to do it, and then all those kinds of things. So, you know, yes, there's executive orders can offer certain kinds of protections, at least on the administrative level and on that side. And, you know, I would want to know, assuming that you don't get the Senate back, that you keep the House and you don't get the Senate, but
what
you do win the White House, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we are with Brian Normoyle. We have so much more to talk to you about, including the inquiry impeachment. And also, Turkey's military has crossed the border and into Syria. Breaking news. We are going to talk about it and what that means coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
That's right. Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It is Woke Wednesdays where we've got political contributor here with us, Brian Normoyle, talking about some of the biggest headlines that are affecting our political sphere. Let's talk impeachment. Let's talk the stonewalling of Congress. Let's talk about all of it. Where do you want to begin, Brian? Because there's so much to dive into.
Where to begin?
Maybe we could start with breaking news.
Yes, let's
I'm looking
there.
At my Twitter and people are like flipping out right now.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very educated on it, but I think that the points that you were making earlier are a little terrifying.
So what's the headline? What's the breaking?
The one of the greatest military betrayals in U.S. history.
Yeah.
So Turkey has begun their offensive in Syria to attack Kurdish forces. They are bombing, and their troops have already entered in the Syrian border.
So,
3 days after Donald Trump had made the announcement that we are going to withdraw U.S. forces from Syria.
And all the talking heads on the morning shows, even The View, were like, we literally just allowed, now these people will be slaughtered, as you know.
I think that there's plenty of evidence to suggest that there could be a very grave humanitarian crisis in the coming days and weeks in northern Syria against the Kurdish people.
Well, and it's scary because I don't think that anybody else will now at this point want to team up with us as far as allies go, because
how do you stand with people? Yeah, we got you.
And then 3 days before, you pull your military out for them to defend themselves. You also made a point that the U.S. military was guarding a lot of the prisons, and without them now, it could be up to 15,000 imprisoned ISIS members that are now roaming free.
That's more than I know about it specifically. I believe, if I'm correct about this, I believe the U.S. troops were protecting Kurds who were guarding these prisons.
That's right. That's what it was.
If they're annihilated, then up to 11,000 ISIS militants that are currently in prison could be going free.
Politically, Absolutely. Though, this wasn't a great move for Trump, because even Lindsey Graham came out and spoke out against the president, sort of. Have a listen to what Lindsey had to say about all this.
I'll say what I said to President Obama. I hope President Trump's right. I hope we can turn the fight against ISIS over to Turkey. I hope that Turkey, when they go into Syria, they won't slaughter the Kurds. And I will say this to the president. It would be hard to protect America without allies over there. And the Kurds have been good allies. And when Turkey goes into Syria, they're not going in to fight ISIS. They're going in to kill the Kurds, because in their eyes, they're more of a threat to Turkey than ISIS. So I hope he's right. I don't think so. I know that every military person has told him, don't do this. And this is the pre-9/11 mentality that paved the way for 9/11. What's happening in Afghanistan is no concern to us. So if he follows through with this, it'd be the biggest mistake of his presidency.
And that was Lindsey Graham this morning on Fox and Friends. And just to throw in another thing here, some of the View panelists were suggesting that is because Trump has Trump Towers, two of them in the region, that he made this very bizarre choice to go against the U.S. military's. There are advisors, all the leaders were saying this is not the way to go. And Trump and his infinite wisdom has decided to go another way.
His unmatched wisdom.
That's what it was.
Unmatched wisdom.
If you could sort of get yourself into his brain with everybody telling him no, including the GOP and really big leaders, why do you think it was important for him to make this decision? What is the importance to him?
The importance, in my view, of just about every decision that Donald Trump makes is the self-aggrandizement of Donald Trump himself.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that he gets some kind of odd thrill up his leg for just bucking what people tell him to do, doing it his own way. The thing is, I've heard my conservative friends refer to him as a conservative, have referred to him as all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. He's been all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, in my view, he is an unprincipled, amoral person. He is not immoral, he is amoral.
That's what I grew up knowing at just being a New Yorker.
Yeah.
That was just kind of the vibe.
That's right. Anyone from New York could have told you this decades ago. The man is not guided by any kind of philosophy or moral principle other than self-aggrandizement and self-serving interests.
Right.
That's it. It's ego. Everything is ego.
And what about this whole the Stonewall in Congress, the impeachment stuff? What's the there? You know, I mean, they basically said that a lot of people who were being subpoenaed were not going to appear. I mean,
well, they're trying to run out the clock, right?
That's
so if you just refuse to comply, and by the way, Nixon refused to comply too. He lost that fight in the courts,
right.
But that was a long protracted legal battle, and it resulted in him ultimately turning over the tapes that would have gotten him impeached and removed from office, and he resigned instead. So he saved the country from that, but. Regarding Donald Trump, I mean, we have an election in a year.
Mm-hmm.
1 year and 1 month from this week, we're going to have an election. And my sense is that if you obstruct to the point where you're not going to send any witnesses, you're not going to turn over any documents, you're going to do all of that, you're slowing everything down. You're really like, and they see it in the polls.
Right.
Even among Republicans, support for impeachment and support for removal from office have increased dramatically in the last 10 days. They have to know that that's only going to get worse. So the strategy is, and Republicans on the Hill are following suit, it is try to delegitimize the inquiry, mm-hmm. try to cast doubt on the inquiry, and obstruct it at every step of the way. Make them go to court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Normal, tell the children where they can follow you to hear all your. I think it's Twitter you're the most active, but is it Instagram? Where are you?
Oh, I don't do politics on Instagram, but you can follow me there. But
the politics
you
is Twitter.
Just fell in love with him.
My handle on all social media is Brian Normal. BRIANNORMOLE.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day to explain some of these heady headlines with us. Coming up next, we've got What's Poppin', a story about Kim Kardashian. Shockingly enough, we talk about everything from Trump to Kim Kardashian. Living proof of that coming up next in What's Poppin'. Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It's time for What's Poppin'. So Michaela Gordon, what is poppin'?
All right, you guys, this story's crazy. Do you remember that documentary, Making a Murderer, where it was all about Stephen Avery,
yeah.
and people were trying to figure out if he actually, in fact, killed Teresa
I
Halbach,
watched
who was
it
a photographer?
I couldn't turn away from it because there was information on both sides,
yeah.
and just mind-boggling.
It was crazy. And then do you remember his nephew, who people thought may have even mental challenges, Brendan Dassey?
The one
who was very young. He was 16 at the time of the killing.
Yeah, and he admitted to doing it, but then they went back and were like, well, no, you pressured him into it, and he wasn't able to find the formulated answer on his own.
Right, and we saw them in the video pressuring Brendan Dassey, and it was a big deal, challenged or not. Well, he is now in prison in Georgia, and Kim Kardashian, who's all about the clemency, is trying to help Brendan Dassey get out by simply retweeting a tweet by Brendan Dassey. He wrote to the governor
mm-hmm.
and he said, hi, how are you? Here are things that I'd like for you to know. And simply trying to say he'd like to get out. He's trying to say, welcome to this new position and I'd like for you to relook at my case. So Kim Kardashian reposts it. However, Governor Evers is saying he's not treating Dassey any differently, does not care about Kim Kardashian or anything she's done for anybody else. He's going to treat this fair and square, or at least how he does with every other case. And they're saying if Brendan Dassey does for some reason get out, it will be no thanks to Kim Kardashian. It'll be simply the call of Governor Evers. So I found that to be interesting. And I'm surprised that story's come back up. It was such a big deal when the documentary came out. All right, you guys, in other news, in Bachelor news, this story was such a freak accident. And actually, our program director, Brian, sent it to me. Peter Weber is suffering a very serious facial injury while he's on location for season 24 of The Bachelor in Costa Rica. He split
First of
up
all,
in his
season 24.
Can you even stand that? Can you stand it? He was in Costa Rica filming when he split open his face while golfing. It was a 2-hour drive from the course to the hospital. He had to get 22 stitches in his face.
No.
He had to go to a surgeon that specialized in his injuries and underwent surgery. However, Chris Harrison made a statement, the host of The Bachelor, yesterday, and he said Peter suffered a freak accident. He got a cut on his head. He got stitches. He's still dashing and handsome as ever. He's 100% okay, and production is already back underway. Can you imagine? You get 22 stitches in your face, and you're like, all right, let's keep shooting. We got it. Moving on. All right, well, that will cap off our What's Poppin'. Now, coming up in the next hour, Ellen is making news again in a controversial way. She's friends with George W. Bush. It appears that she came out with a statement yesterday. People are upset about it, but we, of course, have our own opinions. And then a new show on Netflix called Big Mouth had a big miss, but the creator is coming forward, apologizing and saying they will do better. Find out why in the next hour, coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. We've got some exclusive breaking news about Matt Lauer.
I'm going to say something. There are very minimal times when I feel very shocked and I feel like I don't really know what to say. And this is one of those situations because we have found out who the accuser is from the 2017 accusations that got Matt Lauer fired, and not only fired, but divorced from his wife. Mm-hmm. Hoda is talking about it, and she seemed a little bit shook too. Did you feel that when we listened to
that? Yeah, so we'll have that in What's Poppin'. It's going to be at the end of the hour. Plus, can you be friends with someone who is just completely doesn't support your views and perhaps even might vote to take them away? Well, Ellen can, and she sat down with George W. Bush, and she was reminding people that when she says at the end of her show, be kind to one another, that you should be kind to everyone. Well, not everyone is loving that she stood with the man who basically fought against marriage equality. Mm-hmm. Well, also, we're going to speak with the National Press Secretary for HRC as we are inching toward the historic LGBTQ presidential town hall. Lucas Acosta will be joining us next hour, so you want to keep it locked here. What do you have got planned this week, and what do you have planned today in preparation for meeting Kamala?
There's a lot. Well, you're taking me to meet Kamala, which I'm so excited about. I do want to ask some proper questions, but also I just want to kiss her on the mouth. And then I have Friday. I'm going to visit one of my girlfriends, the one I threw her gender reveal party. She's got some exciting news coming up, so we're going to go celebrate her. Saturday, I'm going to see Fran Drescher in Palm Springs.
You are?
I'm going to go.
You have to go. I don't know. It's like an up for conversation.
I know. I'm going to go. And then Sunday, I'm hosting the Equality Fashion Awards.
Fantastic.
So that'll be exciting. Yeah, so it's going to be a busy week. I'm nervous about Fran, to be honest. As I just said that, it made me nervous.
Nah,
what are you
good.
Doing? You're excited.
I don't know what I'm doing. My plans are kind of up in the air. I was thinking about going to Vegas this weekend, but maybe not. I don't know. We're just going to see what happens.
Well,
I was going to go for Pride.
Invited you yesterday.
I know, but I can't make it out Friday. That's the issue.
Oh, so you can't see her.
Right. So I was thinking about going to Vegas for the weekend, but now it just seems like it'd be not a smart idea. Like, there's nothing really, there's no point now. So I don't know. We'll kind of see how that plans out. But if I don't go to Vegas, there's this really fun vampire-themed party. Do you know the kombucha, GT Dave's kombucha?
Yes.
Well, GT is having a vampire-themed party where everyone must come dressed like a vampire.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Do you know GT Dave? Or
yeah.
You just,
oh, yeah, he invited me personally.
I love that.
He's lovely.
So great.
And, you know, so
he's got a wild story.
Crazy, crazy story. So it's either Vegas or vampire party. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days where I decide to put myself.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So until we get to the more exciting stuff later in the program, let's bang out some news on the beat and give people the headlines they've been waiting for. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, utility giant Pacific Gas and Electric started shutting off the power early this morning in parts of Northern California in an effort to prevent starting a wildfire. And almost 500,000 customers are in the dark right now. Another 300,000 will lose power later in the day. The electricity could be off for days, and forecasters warn that many parts of Northern California are under extreme fire weather danger with windy and dry conditions. Forecast for the region, PG&E Equipment started the deadly 2018 campfire, a state investigation found, after a power line touched nearby trees. So the extreme measure of shutting off the power is being used to try to prevent future blazes. All right, guys, in other news, Turkey said its military has crossed the border into Syria. That is breaking news, and we will continue covering that for you. Turkey basically had the green light to attack Kurdish forces, which Turkey considered a threat. Critics on both the political left and right say Trump's decision to abandon the Kurds, who were instrumental in the fight against ISIS, is a huge betrayal. All right, you guys, if you are celebrating a birthday on October October 9th today. Happy birthday, Libras. You are celebrating with a lot of fabulous people, including Sharon Osbourne. She turns 67 years old. Bella Hadid, she turns 23 years old, and it would have been John Lennon's birthday as well. So happy birthday to you and your celebrity companions. Now coming up, Ellen was seen at a game this past weekend with her wife. She was invited by a friend of hers, and she was seen talking with George W. Bush and has come out and said, hey, we're friends. A lot of people are having a problem with it, but we're going to dive deep into that coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
So this is really interesting to me personally, having been in my 20s during the George W. Bush administration, specifically having been on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy during that time and having to answer a lot of questions when it came to the fight for equality and specifically the fight for marriage equality, which was a hot bucket issue back in the day. They used to call it gay marriage. You're for the gay marriage and not for the gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And it was a big, big issue. The Ellen DeGeneres TV series had just gotten started. The talk show, that is, not the sitcom. The talk show was just freshly new and it was making headlines. And Ellen, of course, was answering all the time. Obviously, she was very outspoken about her girlfriend and then her wife, Portia de Rossi, on her show. And she did have George W. Bush on her show to talk about his paintings and all the other things. I think he'd written a book, so that was his primary purpose on the show back in the day. Now, it was obvious that he was a strong proponent for marriage being only between a man and a woman, and so Ellen had the opportunity to confront him about it. It wasn't negative. She was not disrespectful. He was not president at the time, but she was very, very... She was very, very open about who she was and kind of gave him the opportunity to stretch his belief system. And he didn't. He doubled down. He said, you know, I love you and I think you're a great person. It's just not, I don't personally believe, and we can have differences of opinions.
And I say, love that he did double down on his opinion instead of folding, because the fact is, I am friends with people who do believe the same way that George W. Bush thinks. And I'm going to miss out on a lot of friendships and opportunities and memories if we all stay so close-minded, which I think is the point she's trying to make, because she did get dragged. And she's talking about now being seen. What, this weekend there was a game, Cowboys versus Packers.
Yeah, let me set it up. So basically what happens, Portia, Ellen's wife, is friends with someone who owns basically the stadium, and so they, which by the way, it's the Cowboys Stadium. So they're basically invited to sit in the most elite VIP booth, right?
Yeah.
And so they go in there, and I don't know if you've ever been in one of these things, but there's not seating for everyone. There's like an open air area where all like the buffet is and the bar and everything. And then there's like leathery, comfortable seats you can sit in. It doesn't accommodate everyone. Anyway, so they sit down in these seats, and Ellen DeGeneres is seated next to George W. Bush, who she casually knows. She makes a video that just pans around and she shows her seatmate. He makes a funny face. That's it. But then everyone says you should not be sitting next to this man. He voted against, you know, he really tried to, you know, discredit your marriage. So what do you do?
Well, she went to Twitter and then she went onto her show. She said something to her audience that then was broadcasted on national television. Let's take a listen.
Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter. Even people who are already playing Christmas music. I mean, seriously, there's no excuse for that. But I'm kind to them.
So the woman that invited them was Charlotte Jones. She's the daughter of Jerry Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys. And that's why she went, basically keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, like I said before, first of all, had she not ever given George Bush the opportunity to talk about how he felt, they could have maybe dragged Ellen for this. But she's done everything that you would want somebody in her position to do. She gave him the chance to talk. He did. He said, this is still how I feel. She said, great. They saw each other at an event. And that's the other thing. Like, you can't be disrespectful to the host who invited you. I've been to plenty of dinners with people that I didn't like. I'm not going to be disrespectful to the host.
And he was on the show 2 years ago. Not a long time ago. President Bush, this is, by the way, the Bushes feel the same way. They said President and Mrs. Bush really enjoyed being with Ellen and Portia. They appreciated Ellen's comments about respecting one another. They respect her. And that is from Freddie Ford, a chief of staff for President George W. Bush, said in a statement to CNN.
Yeah, like I said, I've been friends with my childhood dearest friend since we were 2 years old. She's Mormon. She's in Texas. She doesn't drink. She raises a family. She's a dentist. We have completely different political views, religious views, but we have been friends since we were 2 years old. We adore each other, and my life would be so incomplete without her in it. So I do think it's important to put differences aside sometimes and just be able to appreciate each other and be kind to each other so that you can have valuable friendships in your life.
Yeah, agreed. Listen, I fully agree with that. And listen, I think it's difficult and tricky sometimes to navigate how and when to be friends with people who see differently than you. However, I think coding don't change who you are because someone's uncomfortable with your gayness or with you being queer or your gender expression. You live your life proudly. It is their issue to deal with. Don't change who you are to accommodate their comfortability, I would say. That's what, you know, and I don't think they did. Anyway, that's, I think we're pretty much done with that topic.
Yeah,
that's kind
great.
Of a nice takeaway. Like, yes, be kind to one another, but don't change who you are.
Yeah, I love that. All right, you guys, well, coming up, Big Mouth on Netflix had a big miss, but the creator's coming correct. Now, this story is very interesting to me because in the world of 2019 with LGBTQIA, how are we navigating? What goes where? It's important that even our community understands so we don't also make these mistakes. We're talking about it coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Every now and again, these hallways are loaded with celebrities or stars, or as we call them, friends, people we've worked with. Our next guest is a pop-up that we've poached from K-Rock just for a quick moment, just to have a quick chat to celebrate our buddy Alfonso Romero is in studio with us right now. Now, you know, obviously from Fresh Prince, all the millions of shows that he's starred on, directed. I work with him on celebrity duets, but you know him for America's Funniest Home Videos and is the Catch-21 great series, a game show network. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's Catch 21. It's a great show. I used to do it almost a decade ago.
Wow.
And the powers that be over at Game Show Network said, you know, look, it's a great show. It was the highest rated original show that they had ever had on their air.
We worked at a game show network together too. We did that morning show. Remember
the morning show? Right. So after I was doing Catch 21, that's when I did, the interstitial show on GSN.
Yeah.
GSN Live.
GSN Live. That's what I did with you.
And so they were like, well, why don't we bring back something that actually already works?
Yes.
Right. And so they're making a different approach with the new regime that's there. Mm-hmm. And their approach was let's just create as much as we can and as much content as we can and see what happens.
So that's kind of like a reboot. I mean, any chance of the Fresh Prince being rebooted? Everything's coming back. I mean, Queer Eye came back, not with me, but you know.
Well, I've always kind of said that I don't believe that would ever come back mm-hmm. because once James Avery passed,
sure,
that kind of changed
right.
the
sure.
reality of, you know, and also, yeah, you're not going to get Will Smith on TV. There's also that.
Right.
You know, could there be a completely different reboot or
with several cast members kind of giving it
breath? Whoever knows whether that would happen or not. I mean, I've always kind of felt like the past is the past.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let it stay there. But I guess I can't fully say that since I'm doing Catch 21 again.
She always asks, like, is there just not enough new, you say it better, but why the reboot?
I feel like, you know, sometimes the shows that people were on were so classic. And now in 2019, there's been so much room for everything, even including like with the Netflix and the Hulus, that people kind of just want to go back to what they're familiar with, back to like their television families.
I agree.
So I think that's why the reboots are coming back. To be able to see you would be incredible. But speaking of families, mm-hmm. I know you on a personal level. First of all, if y'all want to know the story, my big old butt went out to get candy, what I should have been doing. And then I saw him and I was like, surprise! Getting candy is the best thing I ever did. Thank God I'm not on a diet this week. But you just had your fourth baby.
Yes, my little one.
I want to talk about the baby because then your oldest is now dating. dating, which is like also crazy.
Well, kind of dating, you know.
She's married, you know. And no. Rick said, no. But you, is it crazy for your kids to see you on television now?
Yeah, because they get it now. Yeah,
you know, it's almost a weird thing because, and I say it this way, like life isn't weird when it's your life.
Agreed.
Right.
So, like, for them, it is simply their lives. They've always just seen me on TV. So there's no, like, oh, my God, you're on TV. It's, yeah, Daddy's on TV. Right? And then a lot of my friends are also entertainers.
Right.
So it'll be like, hey, yeah, we'll listen to the radio and be like, yeah, that's Silas's daddy. And it's like, you know, and it's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Right? So it's that kind of, like, their whole world is just connected to the TV and music and entertainment, so they don't see it that way. You know, they just kind of, it's just life.
It's just normal
and
for them.
And you've been a part of people's lives for so long now in entertainment, on camera and behind the scenes, but even shows like America's Funniest Home Videos, which honestly is such a piece of Americana. It's got to be great to be connected with such an iconic show and be with it so long and have it still be entertaining week after week.
Well, I mean, listen, we are celebrating the 30th birthday of the show, which is insane. And to be a part of that and be part of, you know, Bob Saget and Tom Bergeron and be, you know, one of the main hosts of this show throughout all these decades. This is my fifth season doing the show.
Wow.
Is very special. I mean, this is the longest running primetime show on ABC's history. Right?
It's just
very special to be a part of that.
Can you tell us what one of your most favorite videos you've seen in the past 5 years? Because I can't get enough of that show.
Yes. My absolute favorite video is a video that won in my second season, and it was a video with these two kids on a slingshot ride, and the little brother asked the big brother to get on the ride. They go on the ride, and the big brother immediately is freaked out, and the ride starts, right? And he's and he passes out.
Oh, no!
Right? He passes out, and the little brother's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And he wakes up, and he's like, and he goes into, like, a convulsion and then passes out again, right? And then it's like, the little brother's like, I'm so sorry. And, like, a couple seconds later, he wakes up, he's like, it's still going! To me, that is like, it's the number one video since I've been there right
from the
very beginning.
And if you are just joining us, we're with Alfonso Rivera talking about his new show, Catch 21. Of course, America's Funniest Home Videos. Now, listen, I met you on a singing competition called Celebrity Duets, which you won, and then you went on to Dancing with the Stars and won that too. So
I win some things sometimes.
I honestly, I'm not going to lie, I totally geeked out, and we had little viewing parties when you were on, and we all voted for you. So, but I will say, do you still watch the show? And if you do, what do you think of this new season?
I do watch. I went to the second episode. I think this is a very different, interesting season because the show decided to go back to its origin, where it's mostly about the technique.
Okay.
Right? And less about the fun.
Wow.
Well, the problem is that it's less fun.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, so like James Vanderbeek did amazing the first week, right? But he's no fun. He's very serious and very straightforward. And congratulations, James, on the announcement of your new baby.
I was
which
just
going
to say, he's focused on it because he's trying to get that coin for the sixth baby. That's a lot of family.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the fact that it's like the show has lost some of its fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like as a show progresses through the decades almost for this show, that they're missing the one thing that I think allowed the show to remain relevant, which was the fun.
Yeah.
Yes, the technique's important, but if it's losing its fun, it's losing its fun.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, what's not losing its fun is Catch 21, which premieres Monday, October 14th.
Yes.
Are you going to have a fun viewing party with your family? How do you celebrate when you...
We will... I'll probably be asleep because I'm doing so much press in the morning.
Yes.
But we'll sit down and watch it because I actually haven't seen an episode yet. So we'll probably sit down with the family and watch it when it airs live on Game Show Network.
Alfonso Rivera, you are always welcome here on The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for coming in for a couple minutes. You can catch him, like Michaela said, on Catch 21. Of course, America's Funniest Home Videos is not going anywhere. You can catch them there too. Thank you so much, Alfonso. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Great seeing
you guys. Keep it locked here. Coming up next, we got What's Poppin'. There's some big news coming out of the way with Matt Lauer, and we're talking about it next. Normally now we do what's popping, but this is breaking news. What's happening? Reporting live in real time. Here we go. Michaela, what are people popping off about?
All right, you guys. Well, you remember Matt Lauer, who was the co-anchor for the Today Show on NBC. Mm-hmm. He got fired in 2017 because there were allegations of sexual misconduct. We never knew who the person was. They stayed anonymous. We did not also know the details.
Did not.
We just knew that he got fired. They took care of it immediately.
And just for those listening, just want to make you aware that we are going to go into some sensitive topics here regarding rape and physical assault. So just want our listeners to be aware of that.
Yes. Okay. So this morning, breaking news, the woman who was anonymous turns out was an NBC employee. Her name was Brooke Nevels. And she's coming out saying that it was, in fact, the sexual abuse was after a night of drinking. They went to his room. He pinned her up against the wall, kissed her, forced her on the bed, and then anally
turned her over.
Anally raped her.
She said no. She did.
Very clear, many times.
Many times said did not want to have anal sex with him. And by the way, this is, I'm assuming, while they were out of town.
This was at the 2014 Sochi Olympics is when it happened.
Yeah. And so they're away. And I think Matt Lauer was married.
Yes, was very married.
Very married
at this
point.
Because she very divorced him after those allegations came out. But now, of course, the women hosting the Today Show had to talk about it. So here's what they had to say.
I feel like we owe it to our viewers to mm-hmm. pause for a moment. You know, this is shocking mm-hmm. and appalling. And I honestly don't even know what to say mm-hmm. about it. I want to say that I know it wasn't easy for our colleague Brooke to come mm-hmm. forward then. It's not easy now, mm-hmm. and we support her and any women who have come forward with claims. And it's just very painful for all of us at NBC and who are at the Today Show. And, you know, it's very, very, very difficult.
And how we're learning this, by the way, is because Ronan Farrow's new book, Catch and Kill, recounts his investigation of Harvey Weinstein and then also includes this story. He did sit down with Brooke Nevels. The thing that caught me, and it's really difficult to even just read, but basically that she says, you know, that that Lauer did not use lubricant. The encounter was extremely painful. It hurt so bad. She says, I remember thinking, is this normal? And that she you know, that she kept saying no.
Yeah.
And finally she stopped and just wept silently yeah. into the pillow.
It's also interesting because if you're wondering how they got there, apparently in Neville's account, according to Variety, she was tasked in Sochi with working with the former Today co-anchor, Meredith Vieira, and they were at the bar. She had 6 shots of vodka and ended up going to Lauer's hotel room twice, once to retrieve her press credential, which Lauer had taken as a joke, and the second time because he invited her back, she says in the book, and then that's where he allegedly kissed her and proceeded to
rape her.
Anally rape her. And so, you know, it's a very difficult story to tell. And
she went to Meredith Vieira, who encouraged her to go to HR and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So she did, you know, the right things to do. By the way, you know, she did go back and have further sexual encounters with Matt in a more friends with benefits way. She calls it completely transactional. That is not uncommon for people who've been abused by a sexual predator or anyone who had a position of power over them. That's actually quite common behavior. I know both of us were scratching our heads, but as we did our research, we realized that actually is more common than you'd think.
That's right. All right, you guys. Well, that rounds up what's popping. Now, coming up in our next hour, we will be joined by Lucas Acosta, the National Press Secretary for HRC. We will have him for almost the full hour.
I'm
excited. A lot of questions.
Yeah, because the big town hall is coming up about LGBTQ+ issues, and we're meeting with someone tonight, a big important person. And it's important for us to understand the importance of knowing what a good soundbite is and what can actually be done.
Yeah, that's right. So stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back. It's Jay and Michaela here. It's the top of the 9 o'clock or perhaps just past noon where you are listening across the U.S. Happy to report that we are coast to coast. And in fact, if you miss any part of our show, like we just had Alfonso Rivera on just a little earlier in the in the past hour, you can find us in podcast form. Yes, podcast, either at wearechannelq.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast. Just simply look for We Are Channel Q or The Morning Beat and you'll find us there. That being said, coming up, we've got Lucas Acosta. He's the National Press Secretary for HRC. The Human Rights Campaign. Here's why it is so important that he's in with us. Because they're basically partnering with CNN to basically have at the most, I think, historic LGBTQ plus presidential town hall ever. Super excited. I mean, everyone's going to be there. Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Dana Bash, Chris Cuomo. They're going to moderate this. And it's going to be, I think, the first time in my adult history seeing a group of presidential hopefuls weighing in on deep issues, not surface level, deep right. issues that specifically impact our community. I wish we were freaking there invited
I
to
know.
Ask the questions ourselves.
Let's just go.
You know why? Because there's always like one LGBTQ question or something,
yeah.
and then that's it, and they give a generic answer, the presidential hopefuls. So this time, I'm thinking with the longer amount of time, they can actually talk about specific things, especially if things remain the way they are. If they enter office and, you know, they have Congress, but they don't have the Senate, then what? What
yeah.
are they going to do as president? You
yeah.
know, how are they going to make things happen on day one? We'll talk about that. And you and I later are going to have a little chat with Kamala Harris. I believe that's the plan for us.
I am so excited.
What are you going to wear? I'm actually thinking of what I'm going to wear. I want to look professional, but still like me.
Yeah, I want to look professional, but seductive.
Oh, God.
So...
Oh my God, do not have your boobs out.
I'm not going to much. I just want to see
I co-sign that. I don't think you should have them fully.
Listen, I'm not going to give Kamala like a mouthful, but I just want to show her that like I love you.
You better report some news on the beat.
You're going to literally
kill me. This is too lesbian for me at this hour in the morning. All right, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, you guys. Well, STDs are on the rise in the U.S. Cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis have all risen for the fifth consecutive year. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says, now possible factors driving this rise include a surge in people getting tested and cases being diagnosed and reported. There's also a decline in people using condoms. Now, the number of antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea cases is also growing. Alaska has the highest number of chlamydia cases, while Mississippi has the highest rates of gonorrhea. Nevada has the highest rates of primary and secondary syphilis. All right, guys, in other news, if the House of Representatives wants to impeach President Trump, it's not going to get the White House's help. The White House sent a blistering letter to House leaders saying the Trump administration will not cooperate in the impeachment inquiry, calling the whole thing an illegitimate and unconstitutional effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election. Earlier in the day, the State Department had blocked Gordon Sondland, U.S. ambassador to the European Union, from testifying before Congress about the Ukraine controversy. Now, Sondland is now being subpoenaed. The Trump administration stance leaves House Speaker Nancy Pelosi with a big decision, says CNN political analyst Stephen Collinson. Take the fight to the courts where the impeachment drive could get bogged down in months of legal challenges or move quickly in drafting articles of impeachment and play into Trump's claims that she's running a kangaroo court. All right, guys, this is big news. Now, utility giant Pacific Gas and Electric is starting to shut off the power early this morning in parts of Northern California in an effort to prevent starting a wildfire. It has literally gone up since we've been on air. Almost 800,000 customers are in the dark right now, and the electricity could be off for days. Forecasters warn that many parts of Northern California are under extreme fire weather danger, with windy and dry conditions forecast for the region. PG&E equipment started the deadly 2018 campfire, a state investigation found, after a power line touched nearby trees. So the extreme measure of shutting off the power is being used to try to prevent future blazes. All right, guys, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday. It is October 9th, and you're sharing your birthday with Sharon Osbourne. She's 67, Bella Hadid, 23, and John Lennon. He would also be celebrating his birthday. Also, if you're celebrating Yom Kippur, you're probably not even listening to this, but we are celebrating Yom Kippur with you. At least my father's side is. Now, coming up, we are so excited to have Lucas Acosta. He's the National Press Secretary for HRC joining us. We have a lot of questions, so stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Now, in case you've been living under a rock, then let me educate you on something exciting that's happening. There is going to be an historic LGBTQ plus presidential town hall happening, and it's going to include many of the presidential candidates that I'm sure you have your eye on, talking about LGBTQ plus issues. Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Dana Bash, Chris Cuomo will moderate this HRC NCNN historic event, and we're so lucky and thrilled to have Lucas Acosta, the National Press Secretary for HRC, here with us in studio. Welcome to the Morning Beat.
Good morning, y'all. Excited to be here.
So, in case people are, you know, we have many listeners who are allies to the community, and they may not really understand the importance of some of the key point issues that our community is still fighting for. So, for those people who are like, why are they doing this kind of a town hall, how would you answer that?
So we're really lucky this presidential election cycle that we're actually seeing the most pro-equality candidate field in history. Mm. All of the candidates agree that LGBTQ people deserve to be protected, especially in the workplace, and shouldn't face discrimination on any sort of daily basis.
Right.
But what we want to hear from the candidates on this town hall, and the reason why it's so important, is because we're going to be able to hear from the candidates for really the first time for millions of people across the country, their in-depth plans about how they're going to be able to achieve those
goals.
That
is right? Very, yes.
Well, it's interesting because we had somebody join us earlier this morning, Brian Normoyle, and what we were talking about is, let's say they do become president, but the House is still Democrat, but the Senate is still Republican.
Yep. Yep.
How do we navigate through that? What are their answers? What happens?
Exactly, and I mean, like, that's the biggest hurdle right now for the Equality Act, which is the landmark legislation in the House that already passed the House.
And so, the conservative movement is always using things language like there are poison pills in the Equality Act.
Yeah.
What the heck are they talking about? How could they possibly not? I mean, I feel like I've skimmed it and I've got it explained to me. I've read it, you know, and I don't see what they see.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, the poison pill that Republicans and conservatives typically point to is just basically the protections for trans people.
Got it.
So they'll cite sports and make like their own constituents like fear that trans women who are really men
their
language is horrible, are going to be competing against your daughter. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not only backwards in terms of the language that they're using, but honestly doesn't even bear with the facts. Like, studies have shown that argument not only is false in terms of actual performance in sports levels, but actually dehumanizes trans people, which
100%.
Then obviously leads to higher incidence of assault and violence against trans people on a daily basis that obviously that community deals with within the LGBTQ community more than almost any other group.
If you guys are just joining us, we're with Lucas Acosta, National Press Secretary for HRC. Now, for our listeners, who will be attending this? Who will be speaking? Can you give us the details about who will all be attending?
Yeah, so we're going to be having 9 of the 12 qualified candidates. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Beto O'Rourke, and I am missing 2, and we'll get back to it.
It's Kamala, Biden, Booker, Tom Steyer,
yes.
Beto O'Rourke, Amy Klobuchar.
And how could I forget Mayor Pete?
Mayor Pete! So let me ask you this. You know, those are the people that are going to be there and attending.
Yeah.
We did have Bernie Sanders opt out.
Yes. So Bernie Sanders was planning on attending the town hall, and we were really excited about it.
And then he had that pesky heart attack.
Yeah, and obviously his health issues came up. We're excited that he's going to be able to participate in the upcoming debate. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our heart goes out to him and his family as he goes through recovery right now. But obviously, we're really excited to have the candidates that we do have to be able to have the conversations and in depth on LGBTQ issues.
Well, it's exciting, too, because some of the moderators are Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Dana Bash, and Chris Cuomo. I don't want you to say too much, but I feel like Elizabeth Warren has been very vocal from the beginning about protecting our trans community.
More so than any other candidate to me.
I agree. Do you feel like there's anybody in particular that may step up and have more to say protecting our trans community?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Elizabeth Warren obviously has been very vocal. Like, during the GLAAD town hall earlier this year, she read the names of the 18 black trans women that have been killed this year, which was incredibly powerful.
And has met with Ashley Marie Preston. They're like, be BFFs now. She's a big trans activist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but I would say that there are definitely some other candidates who have done a really good job of reaching out to the community as well. Cory Booker wrote an op-ed on violence against the trans community earlier this year in The Advocate. And Julian Castro has really done a great job. I mean, he was the candidate who mentioned the word transgender for the first time in any presidential debate in history, right?
Wow.
And that definitely deserves to be given a little bit of props.
Yeah.
Even if his delivery wasn't the smoothest. Mm-hmm. But but at the end of the day, that's exactly the sort of thing that we're going to be looking for with the candidates. Obviously, like, all of them are pro-equality, but, like, how fluid, like how fluent are you in our issues?
Yes.
And how in-depth are you willing to get in the plans for our community?
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we are going to talk about that, because I think it's important to highlight, not just for the presidential candidates, you know, but also for our listeners and for ourselves to just kind of remember what it is we are fighting for. We'll talk about those issues and a whole lot more with Lucas Acosta from HRC coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
In preparation for CNN and HRC's coverage of the most historic, I think, event that we've had within the political landscape for the LGBTQ plus community, the town hall, talking about the issues that matter to us, we've got Lucas Acosta in studio with us live. We're chatting with him because, of course, he knows exactly what's going to go down, being that he is the press secretary for HRC.
I know all the tea, you could say.
Honey, tea.
So for those who don't know the work of HRC, can you talk to us a little bit about what HRC is and the work they do?
So HRC is the largest national civil rights organization dedicated to LGBTQ equality. So what that means on a day-to-day basis is we are working in states across the country to really provide programs, funding, assistance for LGBTQ people, LGBTQ centers, queer spaces, etc. And also working electorally to make sure that we have leaders in Washington and in state legislatures across the country that are actually seeing us as allies and are actually advocating to protect us rather than bathroom bills and some of the horrific legislation that we've seen across the country.
And what is the importance of .org?
.org, so that, like, so basically we are hrc.org, that's our website, and we're an organization, so we have the special .org, obviously, we're both a C4 and a
C3. That might have been a fallow moment. Just hrc.org.
Yeah, but I wanted them to know where to go.
Oh, and true,
good
plug. For people
to understand that organization
we're
is
at hrc.org and at HRC on Twitter, so please do engage.
Yes, honey. Okay, now, we want to talk to you, because there's a few points that we wanted to make, but particularly that there are some of the issues that are very crucial to the LGBTQ voters and allies. There is an estimated minimum of 10 million LGBTQ voters nationwide, along with millions of parents, sibling, friends, colleagues, and allies. And that plays a very big role in the 2020 elections.
Yeah. So HRC, obviously, you just mentioned the 10 million LGBTQ voters across the country. HRC in 2016 worked with a modeling company, which is basically like this data science group that's able to use voting history, voting data, preferences, and a whole bunch of other things to identify voters across the country that prioritized LGBTQ issues. Mm-hmm. So on top of that, 10 million LGBTQ people that are like themselves identify as LGBTQ, we have 47 million other allies across the country that prioritize LGBTQ issues when going to the polls and determining which candidate to support. So in 2018, 82% of LGBTQ voters voted for Democrats. So we know that LGBTQ people lean left, and LGBTQ people are going to have a major impact into the upcoming Democratic primary, which is obviously like one of the motivating factors for us to have this town hall and really get the candidates on the record on the issues that are important to our community. And so in the first four early states, those equality voters that I mentioned that prioritize our issues make up 43% in Nevada of all registered voters. That's not just Democrats. That's not just Republicans. That includes independents. And 23% in Iowa. So that's a huge chunk of voters that obviously the candidates are starting to pay attention to more than they ever have before.
Right.
We're seeing them go to pride parades. You remember that jacket with Kamala Harris.
Custom.
We all stand that jacket.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, Iowa Pride this year was basically a cattle call for all of the candidates. Mm. All of them had speeches. All of them were engaging with LGBTQ voters on the grassroots level directly. Yeah. And that's something that we haven't seen in presidential cycles in recent history.
Michaela and I were at the Equality California Awards Gala recently, and there were many presidential candidates who submitted videos for us to watch, and more than I think I'm used to seeing. It was quite fascinating.
Yep. Absolutely. Do you think that our presidential candidates are really starting to understand that the LGBTQ really needs to be protected and that we have a very big voice and they're not just trying to reach middle America?
Yeah, I mean, I think that over the last 10 years, we've seen popular opinion on LGBTQ issues rapidly change, right? Like, if you were telling me now that I could be able to get married when I was an 18-year-old kid in high school, I probably would have laughed in your face.
Right.
And the successes that we've had, the popular opinion that has changed, has all sort of influenced the candidates to grow on LGBTQ
And so
issues.
What are the issues that they really need to tackle and yeah. really make sure that they sell us on? Because, you know, I think Mikayla and I talk about this all the time. We have, you know, it's fine if it gets through Congress, but it's never going to make it through the Senate while it's in Republican control. And if things stay the same, what can these presidential hopefuls tackle, say, and make us feel more secure about in this town hall?
So the president obviously has a ton of power within the government, and a lot of the attacks that LGBTQ people have been facing over the last couple of years have been seeded with Donald Trump and Mike Pence mm-hmm. and their allies in the administration. So things like healthcare, for example, the Department of Health and Human Services issued a rule earlier this year that would allow healthcare providers to discriminate against LGBTQ people solely because they identify as LGBTQ.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, like, that can go from refusing to cover or perform surgeries and transition-related services. That could be literally, like, I'm a gay man, I go into a hospital with a broken arm, and you refuse to serve me because I'm a gay man.
Right.
So we want to hear from the candidates not only their plans to reverse those rules, but also, why are we in a vulnerable state where an administration can just issue that rule and discriminate against us, right?
Yeah,
we want to have the protections where it doesn't matter who's in the White House, that we are protected and that we have the rights that we deserve.
Absolutely.
If
you guys are just tuning in, we are with Lucas Acosta, National Press Secretary for HRC. Now, as we're running this down, we're getting very excited for the presidential town hall. Is there anything else that we really need to know that's very important for us as voters and for us as LGBTQ?
Yeah, I think that the one thing that I would just underscore is what I was saying earlier about the Trump-Pence administration.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week, obviously, the Supreme Court heard cases that would either allow discriminate against LGBTQ people in the workplace or allow us the protections that we truly deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't even need to get into where the Trump-Pence administration stood on that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they submitted briefs in all of the cases that were before the court that basically said that LGBTQ people were second-class citizens.
Yeah.
And so what our number one priority is at the Human Rights Campaign and what our number one priority is across the country and all of the states that we're working in is to build the infrastructure to help oust Donald Trump. Because
yes.
at the end of the day, we need a pro-equality ally in the White House and we want to be able to move forward on all of these issues that I've talked about. But we can't do that unless we have an ally in the White House that's willing to sign the Equality Act, that's willing to put forward legislation and rules that are going to protect us.
I'm going to be honest, Lucas Acosta, I feel like I vote for you. You were so passionate in that last 2 minutes, honey.
I love
Serve
it.
Me.
You'll never get that chance. But secret plug for Sarah McBride, my colleague at HRC, who's running for state senate.
I love it. And so for all this information, where can people go and continue to get this information?
Definitely.
As the year goes on?
Go to hrc.org. That's our website. And that has all of the info on our town hall and all of the issues that we're working on across the country.
Fantastic. Lucas Acosta, thank you so much. We appreciate you. We're looking forward to this conversation to be had. It's important. And thank you for educating us all. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
All right, welcome back to The Morning Beat. It is time to have a little crosstalk with our faves from Drop the Subject. It's Allie and Jared here in studio with us live. What are you guys going to be covering today?
You forgot who we were for a second there,
No,
didn't
I
you?
Forgot. I was like, what am I forward teasing, like, if there's things to talk about, but there isn't, so.
But there isn't.
I was about to say, do we have anything that I wanted to ask you about based on our show? But I was like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah, well, we have an exciting, jam-packed show. All week long, we've been telling coming out stories leading up to National Coming Out Day.
I know, I heard them. They're great,
yeah, so Jared told his on Monday, I told mine yesterday, and then today we're talking to Ryan Mitchell. He's going to be telling his coming
that.
Out story, which I guess he has never told anybody before.
He never told his coming out story?
No.
Is it Channel Q exclusive?
No, it's a Drop the Subject exclusive.
Okay, first of all,
yeah.
The tone was aggressive. I'm glad he forgot who you were.
It's a Drop the Subject exclusive. Yes, Ryan from Let's Go There will be telling his story today, and then Mikayla, you're going to be telling your coming out story, which we're excited about. And then we're also, at the end of the week, we're going to talk to our moms, because both of our moms are part of our coming
that.
Out stories. Yeah, so Allie's mom came out for her. Exactly.
Yeah,
Allie's
exactly.
mom came out for her. Mm. She told her that she was gay.
Yep.
And then my mom, I wrote a letter to, and so we were going to to talk to both of them on Friday.
I love that.
I heard parts of the letter yesterday. It was lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you going to reenact and read the letter to your mom on the air?
I don't know. I'd probably cry.
I feel like it'll get emotional.
That'd be good.
Maybe dramatic, like Lifetime movie on music underneath scoring.
Absolutely.
Or you gentle. Know what? You can give it to me. I'll do a quick rehearsal.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you'll do it as me?
Let Ali do it.
I think I'll probably just do like a completely, totally different, a reimagined
version. Right.
An Australian dance version or something
there we go. I've been working on.
Okay, yeah.
That sounds like the way to go.
Yeah, so then we also were doing this story that 75% of millennials have quit their jobs for mental health reasons.
Yeah.
Honestly, same.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I feel like that's good.
I'm going to tune in for that conversation.
That is crazy. I mean, it's a crazy high number, but I get it at the same time.
Well, it's interesting because I think that the baby boomers they grew up with this mentality that, like, I got to work. Everyone's got to work. That working is a part of life. I just got to rise and grind every single day. And I think that a lot of millennials get the bad rep that they are like freeloaders or that they feel entitled. But I think a lot of them are putting their mental health before work.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting. It doesn't even at 31, like, that isn't even an option for me. Like, I would never quit for mental health issues. Like, I would just be like, nah, gotta work through it, got bills to pay.
Even when we do weekends and we're out of town, I ask to pre-record an hour here or there because I'm like, there's no way to work.
Yeah.
And we do still work, many of us still work on weekends as well. And so it's like, sometimes I'm like, I'm working off steam here. Yeah.
Feel like if you can feel yourself drowning or you feel yourself like not able to just like keep going, I totally get it. I have to go back and think about all the, because I've had a lot of jobs. It's like it's a joke on the show. Yeah. It's like I've had every kind of job, but like I get 75% of millennials quitting their jobs because of mental health. Because I think about our generation looking at the generation before us, and I see like my parents have had jobs for decades. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not necessarily something that they were passionate or excited about. It's something that they just worked
every day. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's courageous that they're leaving.
Yeah,
work at 75%. I think that's good. Find something you love. Yeah. Don't settle. It's a whole new world.
And it's about finding something you love, but it's also about the amount of work that you're doing. Some people, I think that they can't even if they are doing something they love, they're doing too much of it, and I think sometimes it can be tough to discern when you are depressed versus burnt out because a lot of the symptoms
100%.
Are the same, and you're like, what is going on with me? I'm so tired, or I'm so this, and delineating the symptoms of burnout versus depression is tough.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, you guys make sure to tune into that. That's a really good conversation, actually. Yeah. It's an important one. Jared and Ali, drop the subject. We will be here tomorrow, of course. We have a great show for you, as always.
And don't forget that we're going to be chatting with Tammy Brown, like you said, but also we're going to be hanging out with Kamala Harris tonight.
And if I don't show up tomorrow
way to bury the lead there, Michaela.
Anyway, we don't really have much to talk about. What are you guys up to on the show today?
We got invited to a private event. It's like an informal gathering where she's going to be wants to have folks and got invited people in the media, kind of private event thing.
How did I not get invited to this?
Yeah, that's right. Apparently, I'm Jay's plus one, but it might as well be
flipping a table.
This is why, because you're not drinking in West Hollywood enough. That's why.
She's my top five of people I'd want to smoke a blunt with.
I'll
let her know.
Wait a minute. How is she with cannabis? Do we know?
Oh, remember she said like, oh, I'm cool with weed, and everyone was like, but you're a prosecutor and you put a bunch of, so there was a whole thing about it.
I'm going to bring it up.
Okay, please do.
Thank you. I'm going to bring it
up and then pass it.
Done.
Well, keep it here for Drop the Subject. Coming up next, thank you for listening to The Morning Beat.
We'll see you in 10 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.